The Lillian McDermott Show.
We love, we fear, bridges we burn, we make mistakes, then we live and learn. When life gets tough, and it seems like your best ain't good enough. If you're in need of hope, you know where I'll be. I'll be right here, right here. And when you need a friend, you can count on me. I'll be right here, right here, waiting for you.
This is the place you can always turn to when you need a friend. The Lillian McDermott Show. To reach out to Lillian, visit her on the web at whenyouneedafriend.com. Now, let's all learn together. Here's Lillian McDermott.
Hello, my listening friend. It's so nice to meet each other on the air on this beautiful best day ever. And for those of you who are new to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, the purpose of the show is to provide a safe place where you can go to when you need a friend. It is my commitment to provide alternative ways to heal, and it is my mission to make awareness, responsibility, and truth a part of our everyday life. And I hope you, my listening friend, will feel empowered to embrace a new truth and live the life of your dreams. When I say embrace, I want you to know that I mean welcome, understand, look at the other side of it. Step into it. See how it would feel. That's what I mean with embrace. I'm not saying that you need to believe what we believe. It's embrace it with curiosity. Consider that there may be something else there. And so today we're going to talk about a topic that we've talked about before, but today our expert is also our teacher because of experience. And so psychiatrist and orthomolecular scientist, Dr. Alice Lee, for the first time, she's going to share her own personal story. I don't know if she's shared it in other radio shows, but at least on the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, she is opening up to you, my listening and my viewing friends, because part of her healing is sharing her story. Because of this, we can embrace the fact that perhaps many of us have gone through this trauma, but are afraid to look at it. And she is willing to step in as a leader, as a teacher, facilitator, as someone who helps her patients get off of drugs and embrace their truth, whatever happened. And when I say embrace again, I mean look at it with curiosity. And so Dr. Alice Lee, as I said, she's a holistic integrative psychiatrist who practices in Maryland. She combines nutritional medicine, which is orthomolecular, and she also uses energy medicine, which she's been on the show before to talk about energy medicine. And you can listen to her at whenyouneedafriend.com. Go to the past shows and check out Dr. Alice Lee. And so she also integrates treatment for mental health conditions. And since it is our sole purpose in life to give and receive love and knowledge, I'm so grateful that Dr. Alice Lee is here on the Lillian McDermott Radio Show to share her story and help us heal along with her. Thank you, Dr. Lee, for being on the Lillian McDermott Radio Show.
Thank you so much, Lily, for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, this is a big step for you, my dear friend. And I am just so grateful for your trust, and I'm grateful that you are open to share your story. But before we go into the story, I would love for you to share a little bit about your background and what led you to embracing orthomolecular psychiatry.
Well, there's two levels. I think the first is my own personal journey of healing. Mm-hmm. I had to go through a spell of health issues that required a little bit more attention for out-of-the-box approaches and understanding how nutrition plays a role in my own healing process. So that kind of opened me up to the possibility that nutrition can be helpful for my patients. And then at some point, my practice was filled with patients who had bipolar disorder, and they came to me with a a lot of medications that weren't helping them to manage their disorder. So at that point, because I knew that nutrition was helpful, someone did suggest that a company was making a supplement that was helpful for bipolar. And I started to use it after 3 months of consideration. That's how much, you know, training I had not to go out of the box.
Sure.
To help my patients in some other way. But I eventually did do that. And the company had people that they were specifically assigning doctors to help them know how to use supplements. And I started using these supplements with my patients who had bipolar disorder, and they started to get better. They were able to lower their meds. And that was what started me on that journey. And so about a year later, I met a therapist who taught me EFT, which is an acupressure technique that integrates intention and acupressure points. So very early on in my journey, I was exposed to both the nutritional piece as well as the energy medicine piece. And by 2003, I started to go to conferences where other people who were, you know, along the same journey mm-hmm. were meeting, and started to kind of understand that the field that I was going in actually had a history, as opposed to, I didn't even know what I was doing initially. I didn't know that it was called an orthomolecular approach or functional approach.
Got it.
It was a very gradual step-by-step journey, and I'm really glad that it happened that way, because I was so ingrained in thinking that medication was the way to treat psychiatric disorders, that if it hadn't been step-by-step, I don't think it would have been easy for me to make that transition.
Okay. And so this today, the transition that we are talking with Dr. Lee is what most doctors have to go through. You're being trained to prescribe medication. And when you think about another mean, you can also get in a lot of trouble, which I know that many doctors are afraid of that. But we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Alice Lee when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com.
Right here, waiting for you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where you can hear us worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. I'm your host, Lillian McDermott, and it is my goal that we all learn from one another. And today's teacher is Dr. Alice Lee. She's an MD psychiatrist who integrates orthomolecular medicine or science into her practice. And she truly believes that nutritional medicine or nutritional science supplements can help heal the wounded brain, the wounded heart, the wounded condition of humanity. And so today, as a teacher that she's been on the show in the past, she's also going to share her story of abuse and what happened to her in her life. And I want to acknowledge you, Dr. Lee, because when we get to that level where you're a medical doctor, you get to that point where we are trained to treat you like gods, mm-hmm. that whatever you have to say is like the final word. But today you get to be a teacher in a different way. So share a little bit about your background. Now, this is your personal background, not your intellectual background, your experience as a child.
Well, I think with regard to the topic of sexual abuse, what I wanted to share is that it's prevalent, and it doesn't respect, you know, people based upon, you know, backgrounds or financial, societal status or anything.
Correct.
Or even cultural differences. It's prevalent everywhere. And in my situation, the abuse that I experienced was from my father. And it was, it started when I was 13. The most vivid memory that I had was when I went up to him, and I was kind of excited about the fact that my period had started. And I said, you know, look, I was just sharing that news with him. And he said to me, now I can show you how grown-ups kiss. And he just came up to me and French kissed me and stuck his tongue in my mouth. And I was so shocked. And
Had he ever done that before?
No.
Had he ever touched you inappropriately before?
No.
That you can you rem, you don't did anybody else?
No.
Okay. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, he's kissing you.
Well, yeah, and then so I said yuck, and I wiped his spit from my mouth, and I had to repress that because I lived in a house where, you know, the parents are gods and they tell you what to do and they controlled my life and everything about it. So I couldn't really, make it a big issue at that point, but it was very, very wounding for me psychologically. I actually kind of saw him differently after that. But after that, as I kind of developed physically, there were more incidences of inappropriateness, but my father was also inappropriate, not only with me, but with other women. And I learned about those incidences because I was observant. And I also heard from one particular woman whose sister was kind of sexually assaulted by my father and had to, she actually had to leave America. She was actually a student from China, and she actually had to go back to China because she became mentally ill. And I think part of that was the trauma of not being able to have this person that she had looked up to, like my father, was someone that she had looked to for support in America while she was a foreign graduate student. And my father abused that in her life. So my father did a lot of different things. My mother also colluded with that because she never did anything to, you know, make me safe or feel like I could talk to her or anything. In fact, she was rather competitive with me. She felt a little threatened in terms of how much attention perhaps that she thought my father was giving me. So this actually, I lived with my parents up until I finished college because they wanted me to stay home and go to college at the University of Utah. And so I actually had inappropriate sexual kind of advances from my father all the way through up until through the end of college. And then I moved out of the house to the Medical Towers where I went to med school at the University of Utah. And so then I was able to get away from all of that. The very first time that I became an intern at the University of Maryland, and I was independent financially from my parents, I was able to earn money, I wrote a letter to my mother, telling her about the abuse. I was just starting my own therapy at that time, and I told her about it, and she shared that letter with my father. And so we tried to sit down and talk about it. And what happened was we sat down, and my mother said, your father denies everything. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my father and he looked at me and his response was, I forgot. So he didn't really deny anything. He just said, I forgot. And so my mother looks at me like, what else needs to be said? Like, who cares? Like, let's just kind of forget about it and move on. So that approach of trying to make things right by talking with him about it fell flat on its face.
Yes.
And in fact, eventually, because of their continued lack of willingness to, you know, look at things honestly, I stopped talking to my parents for about 10 years.
Wow.
And then just this year, my mother wrote a letter to me by hand asking me to come back for Christmas. And I said, you know, initially I was kind of shocked that they would be willing to kind of offer this kind of olive branch. But then I wrote to them, you know, like nothing has resolved, you know, over these issues that you have denied ever happened. And I feel that we need to discuss it before I feel comfortable going back home for Christmas, because it's always there, the elephant in the room.
Sure.
But my father wrote a letter after her, basically saying that he had forgotten everything. And if there was anything wrong at all that he had done, then I should remind him of them. So I thought, well, he actually said he apologized, but he didn't apologize for anything. He just said, I'm sorry, but I don't remember anything. And so I,
is that normal though, in your healing people, helping people, kind of bring their memories back? Is it normal for the abuser to kind of conveniently forget that they've caused harm upon another person?
I think that that's what they would like to believe, but it's there because my father not only did this to me, but he did it to many women. And he still continued, from what I heard, still continued to be inappropriate with even some of the people I know. And that's how I hear about it.
Sure.
So he can't possibly like not know. He just doesn't want to look at it. So I wrote him a letter back and I explained things very clearly to him, what happened, that he can't possibly forget everything because that's his whole kind of whole behavioral.
That's called dementia, right? That's called dementia. Is he demented?
Well, he isn't. He has a clear mind. He's still active. He's healthy. So I don't think it's that. I think he just wants to not do the work.
Yeah.
And so when I wrote the letter to him, I never heard back from him because I don't think that the truth is what he was interested in. He just wanted what he wanted. He wanted to just have it all back in terms of the relationship without having to really do the work of looking at change and taking responsibility for his own behaviors in the past. And I think sometimes, you know, I think back and that letter that I wrote to my father recently, I think that is also an act of love because, and also of faith, because I believe that it's important for my father to have an opportunity to know the truth rather than to continue to kind of hide in his delusions or yeah. whatever it is that he wishes to have. I think there's a difference between that and forgiveness. Meaning that I do forgive my parents. I do understand as a psychiatrist where they came from and why those kind of things may have happened. I don't think of my father as just a perpetrator. I think of him also as a victim. So all of those things are understood, but at the same time, you want them to do the work. You want them to look at the matter seriously and take me seriously.
Okay. So along with that, because this is the hamster wheel that I see people get in when they're trying to deal with, acknowledge the pain that the body feels, that the brain wants to neglect. And there's a couple of things. There's so many things I want to say because I remember you telling me your story when you're going to medical school and how you got sick. You just said you left the home after that, and you're probably, your body was trying to tell you a bunch of stuff, but the medical profession was giving you drugs to numb it up. And that's your journey. That's your story that helped you become orthomolecular, you know? And so, but the next thing is that there are times where the people that violate us refuse to do the work, but that does not keep us. That should not keep us from doing our own work, regardless of whether or not the person who violated you, violated us, violated whoever, that we need to continue our growth regardless of their denial.
Absolutely. And I think that that can be a very creative strengthening process. Like when you come from a place where you're wounded or broken or you experience something, the first thing is to think of yourself as irreparable, like the damage.
You're broken.
But I really truly think that life is kind of just the opposite, that it gives us these challenges almost as if it was Play-Doh or sand in the sandbox, and it challenges us to make something of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the transformative process and a creative process that we can then exert upon some substance, some experience that we have in our lives and transform it for good. And I think that we all have that innate ability that power within us to take any experience that may be damaging initially to us and transform it into something that can be extremely powerful and good for others and for ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, and I've said this often on the show, and I've learned this, so I'm sure that this is not something I have made up, but everything, and it's in the Bible for Pete's sake, everything in life works for the good of all, not just my good, not just your good. It works for the good of all. So what does that tell me? That everything has a purpose. This abuse that you endured, Dr. Lee, although I'm so sorry that you went through that. If I look back and I look at the responsibility questions on your life, it created the person you are today. And you championed so many people to get off of drugs and live the life that they want holistically and naturally. And you've been able to empathize with these people because you now know what it's like to feel that you don't matter.
Thank
you. Does that make sense?
That's really the most important core lesson, is to have compassion and empathy through these experiences.
And that's what makes you who you are and such a great healer. And we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Alice Lee when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. If you have any questions, any comments today, 407-373-5959, and share your thoughts. We'll be right here waiting for you.
I'll be right here waiting for you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where we always learn from one another. You can hear us worldwide, and I'm serious. We have listeners around the world. I am so thrilled that something that started 7 years ago has built momentum, and it is teachers like Dr. Alice Lee who have come on the show that has made this hour my classroom. I don't know about if it's your classroom, but it certainly is my classroom. And I want to encourage you to continue the conversation after this hour at whenyouneedafriend.com. Whenyouneedafriend.com is a place where you can go to when you need a friend and when you want judgment-free access to your subconscious, to your life, to everything that you are. If you're having a problem where you feel victimized, or if you're having a problem where you feel that there's no hope, go to whenyouneedafriend.com. Let's have that conversation together. Dr. Alice Lee is sharing today her abuse, her experience. And, you know, I talk about the 100% responsibility questions, and maybe we can do an exercise, Dr. Lee, off the air, where we go through these 100% responsibility question about your sexual abuse. And when we get to that fourth question, how freeing we are to know that we would choose our experience again if it meant the outcome that we have today. It's not what happens to us. It's what we do with what happens. And so I want to encourage you to go to whenyouneedafriend.com, become a subscriber. And when you become a subscriber, this show will be sent to you on your phones, your smartphones and your tablets. You also get some free gifts. So go to whenyouneedafriend.com, play around there, and make sure that when you're there, check out my favorites. Dr. Alice Lee is under my favorites. So if you want to have a conversation, she can help you via Skype, because she doesn't prescribe the medication that she wants to get you off the medication if possible. And so she can work with you via Skype. She can work with you at in Maryland where she's at. And so I want you to go to my favorites. Also go to my sponsors. These are people that have stepped up and said, you know what? I believe in the show. I want to associate myself with the show. So please make sure that you go back to these sponsors, these favorites, then go back and figure out different ways that you can support them the way that they're supporting the show. Make sure that when you're on whenyouneedafriend.com, you click on all my social media, including my YouTube, because our show is recorded when you're listening to commercials. We're also talking too. And those commercials are our sponsors. They're so important. But off the air, you can go back and click on YouTube, become a subscriber there, and listen to the off the air conversations that are a little bit more intimate sometimes because there's certain things we cannot say on the air. And so I want to encourage you to go there. Also like me on my social media, check me out on demand on podcasts, and you can call, leave a message 407-373-5959. Text me what you are thinking about today's show of sexual abuse. Dr. Alice Lee is a integrative psychiatrist. And when I say integrative, she takes the best of the East and the West has to offer and supplements and nutrition and all these wonderful things that might make you feel that you need a pill to alter your mood. And it's interesting you said, Dr. Lee, thank you so much for sharing your story. Yeah. Now it's time to move forward and heal from this story. Like all of us, you could stay, you could stay in that story and let that story define you. But your spirit was strong enough. Your spirit knew, that voice inside your head knew that this was something that was going to create this defining moment to create the butterfly that you've become.
I think you're a little bit complimentary there.
No, I'm absolutely not. I mean, so there's so many things, you know, with you, this is the first time that I hear, and I'm shocked that you had not experienced abuse before the age of 13 when your dad gave you a French kiss. And I'm not talking about the French kiss that goes from cheek to cheek. I'm talking about full tongue and everything. So I'm talking about someone that, you know, abuse, is it abuse? Does it start with abuse like that? That was like inappropriate. So in so many different levels. However, when you're a child, it starts with seduction, candy, or, you know, so let's talk about the shame that you've experienced throughout your life because this happened. And it wasn't something that you created in a way that you said, oh, I want this experience for me. It's something that happened to you.
Which is really ironic that sexual abuse should end up being the victim's issue with shame, right?
That's right. How does that happen?
How does that even occur? But I do think that it, to address the first issue about the home environment, I would say that the sexual abuse happened within a context of a narcissism with my parents. It's much more, it's not an expression of sexual, I don't think sexual abuse was a central core problem. The central core problem, I think, within my family dysfunction is narcissism, which means by definition that I was considered an extension of them. Not, I wasn't really seen as an individual person with my own individual needs or anything like that. It was just, they wanted my life to be the perfect life that they wanted to live. Uh-huh. And they thought that everything that they did for me was to forward me towards that state of perfect, you know, existence that they imagined, but they can only imagine it for themselves. And so anything that I wanted contrary to what they wanted was not considered worthy of consideration. So that narcissism and the need to control another person's life, basically control them at all levels, whether it's emotional or mental or physical, kind of comes out in lots of different ways.
Sure.
In my family, it came out in sexual ways. It came out in the way they controlled my career. It controlled how I was to speak or not to speak in the home. And anything that I wanted to do had to go through their little control filter. Mm-hmm. So that started initially, of course, as a child with severe punishments for little infractions.
Wow.
That I would do. both for me and for my brother. And so we were trained from a very early age to never question my parents. And my parents being Chinese and everything, that's probably how they were raised. Yeah. And so,
so we never
questioned them. By the time that we were adolescents, I think it was very hard for us to even talk back to my parents. Because you've already kind of been groomed to basically think of yourself as this quiet, obedient child of your parents. And your role is to please them mm-hmm. for whatever they wanted you to do. And so that included academic excellence. You know, I was supposed to do things that made them proud. And I was not allowed to have friends that I wanted to have unless they approved of them. Mm. So it's just, that's the family setting. In terms of how this kind of abuse affected me, of course, just like anybody else, it created shame. It also created a sense of distance between my self-image and my body image, meaning that there was a lot of ambivalence about how I looked. On the one hand, of course, as a natural teenager, I wanted to look good. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I was conflicted about it because I had this kind of childlike belief that if I looked good, perhaps I would get too much attention from my father. Mm-hmm. So I think that I was always oscillating between the two. And I also noticed that my father often commented on my weight. You know, he had a very keen eye on how I looked physically, and that made me also very uncomfortable. So I think I hid behind extra weight, and I also always needed to have this idea in my head that I was ugly, so that I could then defend myself from the idea that somehow he might be attracted to me. But then it kind of goes on.
So we had discussed this. This is something that I've learned through the teachers on my show and also a certified life coach. And I'm sure you know this study as well. But the study is found in the National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health, that the majority of the studies show that people who have binge eating disorders, that are morbidly obese, 87% of them have been sexually inappropriately, there has been sexual molestation, abuse of some sort. So getting to that core value, getting to that core, that deep-rooted core, that 87%, that doesn't mean that everybody who's morbidly obese has been sexually abused, but 87% of them wrote yes, that they had. And so that's an amazing statistic. Knowing that, can people just go deep into themselves and say, how can I heal from the sexual abuse and work outside, work outwards? Is that something that you've been able to utilize as well, Dr. Lee?
Yeah, I think it goes down to healing one's relationship with one's body and cleaning that body back as your own body and not somebody else's object for them to manipulate. So.
Okay, and so we're going to continue this conversation about sexual abuse and with Dr. Lee and her techniques as a psychiatrist as well. When we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com, we'll be right here waiting for you.
I'll be right here waiting for you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lynn McDermott Radio Show, where we always learn and grow with one another. Today's teacher is Dr. Alice Lee. I don't know if I've given you her website address. You could also find her at whenyouneedafriend.com under My Favorites, because she is one of my favorites. And if you go to holisticpsychiatrist.com, that's holisticpsychiatrist.com. If you want to learn a new truth about healing, and eliminate, you know, like one thing that I just want to bring it back, Dr. Lee, something you said, that when you started listening to your body and learning what you really, truly wanted, they were giving you medications to stop it. These medications are so good about numbing pain that it will numb everything about you. It will cause a lot of other side effects. And I'm not saying don't take the pill. I'm not saying that. Please, if you're hearing me say that, please know that what I'm saying is there are other things that you can do as well that could lead you to that true healing and acceptance of your past and taking away the anger, the bitterness, the shame. So Dr. Lee, you know, as we were talking in the end, all I kept hearing you say is you wanted to heal the world. But by healing yourself, you accomplish the same thing.
Well, that was my initial intent, is to be compassionate and helpful to others without really understanding where that compassion and desire came from. And then as I was going along trying to help others in my journey, I think I grew out of my own pain, just because I had to have tools that that ended up healing me in the process. So I was very lucky in that way. But I don't think that I was innately a healer type. I mean, if I didn't have these kind of experiences, I don't think that I would be interested in spending a lot of time sitting with other people who have very similar issues, because there wouldn't be that empathy or compassion or
interest. Yeah, right. That's right. And because you endured the abuse and because you went through it, you knew the signs and you protected your child. You were able to protect it. And I don't know about you, but if I had to choose between me being sexually abused or my child being sexually abused, I would take it 100% of the time, just like you.
Right. I think that the way you can prevent the abuse from moving forward to the next generation is to face the abuse within your own life, to experience the pain, to work through it and to heal from it and come to a place where you can transform it into an empowering experience for you rather than a damaging experience. Also to be able to release it. What I would call forgiveness is merely just be able to release it through one's own empowerment or one's own understanding of that situation, perhaps even better understanding compassion for those who perpetrated it in your life. When you ignore it, when you push it away, when you do things to deny it or even collude with the perpetrator by thinking that somehow you empower yourself by justifying that abuse, that's when you're putting yourself at risk of imitating them or allowing that abuse to move forward into the next generation. Mm. Which is not to say I didn't make bad mistakes in terms of my choice of a marriage partner.
Sure.
But I think that as I was growing, I was able to see that how my choice of my partner was affected by my own, you know, role models growing up.
Sure.
So that did have an impact that was negative on my children, but that also offered me opportunities to not only protect them from that, but also to work through any remnants and remaining issues that I had with those issues in my own marriage.
So, you know, when we first started and you and I were talking off the air right before we got started on the show was going to be a little bit more clinical, wasn't it? It was going to be more, you know, these are the things to look at. These are the, you know, a typical clinical sexual abuse, but it hasn't been that, has it? It's been really, truly your journey and how you've been able to heal. Everybody's on their own yellow brick road. And Dr. Lee's story is very unique to her, but at the same time, we can all share in that journey because we've all taken that step too. And I'm so grateful to you, Dr. Lee, for sharing that. Now, this is what I want to go back to, is the shame. How do you get rid of the shame? How do you deal with the shame? How do you shed the shame?
That is a really big issue of shame, to take on the abuse and blame it upon yourself for some reason, to devalue your body because somebody else has devalued it, someone that you had trusted or looked up to. And I think the way I try to overcome the shame is to always try to be perfect or better or, you know, shine in whatever way to excel. And I think that's one way in which a lot of people deal with shame is to try to just wow people, right? But I think another way of overcoming shame ultimately is acceptance. Mm-hmm. And acceptance of one's vulnerabilities, acceptance of one's imperfections, and coming to a place where you understand that you belong to the human race where everybody else has suffered, and allow that experience to help you to feel connected to other people at a very deep human level. Mm-hmm. That, I think, allows shame to be processed through a little bit of a different avenue. So rather than saying, I'm better than other people, and that's why I don't need to be ashamed, you can come from a different angle, which is, I am like everyone else, and therefore I don't need to be ashamed of this. I can share this experience and not feel like I am less than someone else. In fact, I am like everyone else through this experience.
Beautiful. And so let's go, because I would love to answer the four responsibility questions as a non-victim, as you are today, a responsible human being. So the first question of taking responsibility is, how did I create it? How did I create it? And this is an answer that requires no blame, fault, shame, or duty. It's no different than 2 + 2 = 4. And I can help if you, the answer to that for me to help the process go forward is, you were born into the family. That was it.
When you asked that, the immediate response that I had is that I can only answer that from a spiritual perspective. Mm-hmm. That those kind of experiences has to have a bigger context, and that we choose these kind of experiences because we are brave. We come into the world and we want to have these experiences to advance certain causes and goals and purposes, that our lives do have purpose and goals and things that we want to accomplish. And we can't accomplish that unless we have experiences that help us to focus on those issues. There's nothing better to help us focus on those issues than someone poking you in that direction, and it's pain. So that's a little bit of what I think of when you ask that question.
And what are the gifts and lessons? Now that you know how you created it, what are the gifts and lessons? Look at how successful you are.
Infinite.
Yeah,
infinite. So many gifts and lessons from this, and that's why I, looking back on it, I had told you, Lily, that I would go through my life again to experience these experiences, because through them, I feel my ability to help others has really deepened, and also my ability to think and appreciate all sorts of aspects of life has been deepened and enriched by it. So.
Very good. And then number three, which is what's going to be different. I'm sure you had a watchful eye over your daughter and made sure that she was protected as well.
Right. You always come from that place of wisdom when you've had those experiences. So when you have those experiences, not only can you take that wisdom with you wherever you go, you can protect those you love through that wisdom.
And question number four is, how are you using this for the greater good? You're doing it today, and you do it always. Thank you so much, Dr. Alice Lee, for being part of the Lily McDermott Radio Show. Go to holisticpsychiatrist.com. Dr. Lee, thank you for sharing your wisdom today as a human, not a clinician. I love it. And to you, my listening friend, we all have effects of our past. They can become what makes you a victim or a victor. You choose. This is Lilla McDermott wishing you love, peace, joy, and unexpected abundance.
The opinions and advice expressed on the Lillian McDermott radio show are intended for the individual callers and guests on the program and are presented to our wider audience solely for general educational purposes. Please act responsibly and consult personally with your own medical, psychological, or nutritional expert before taking any steps.